keeping farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Mike Pearson.
Our conversations continue this morning, and now our focus moves to the dairy industry. There is a press, a full court press, I should say, going on in the dairy industry to update and modernize federal milk marketing orders that help set the pricing for dairy producers throughout the system. Joining us now for an update on this issue is Alan Bjerga. He serves as Senior Vice President of Communications at the National Milk Producers Association. And Alan, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into what the dairy industry would like to see with this federal milk marketing order modernization, Alan, I'm wondering if we could take a step back and could you spend a minute or two, just walk us through how milk gets priced once it comes off the cow and goes into the bulk tank there on that dairy farmer's operation?
Well, I think that's a great step to take, Mike, because admittedly, this becomes a very arcane topic very fast, and it's of vital interest to dairy farmers, the dairy industry, and thus the general public. But the federal milk marketing order system itself is pretty complex, and it's helpful to conceptualize it by thinking about federal milk pricing as sort of being this exercise in determining what is the value of milk. And when you think about it, that's a tough thing to figure out because milk can vary in its value depending on what it becomes, right? Milk comes out of a cow, it gets transported, but it might end up being sold to a consumer as fluid milk. It might be cheese, it might be butter, it could be whey put into a protein energy drink. It could be a lot of different things. And what the federal milk marketing order system is supposed to do, and this was the purpose it was set up in the 1930s, is to make sure that we have orderly milk markets that ensure that American consumers have a steady supply of fluid milk that we need to, you know, help our children grow and our country go. So we've been looking at a modernization of this program. It really hasn't had a significant revamp since the year 2000. Obviously, a lot of things change in nearly a quarter century. And it involves a lot of adjustments to a lot of different formulas and a lot of different things, again, that make up of what is the value of this milk, and then how does that get expressed in the check that goes to a producer? Because a producer, you know, they're going to be selling their milk and their milk is going to go to a lot of different things. How do you come up with a fair way of making sure that value of milk goes to farmers in an equitable manner? So you have things like milk that is priced into components, the price of milk being determined by what is the quality of milk, i.e. the amount of protein in it, the amount of milk solids, et cetera. And then you have this thing that's called the make allowance, which is a portion of that value that the processor is basically given credit to have added by turning it into cheese or butter or whatever product you have. So it may seem counterintuitive in some ways that there's different parts of this check going to different components of the industry. But once again, it's all part of this exercise of what is the value of milk and how do you ensure that that value is reflected in a way that consumers have the supply of milk they need and farmers have the orderly markets they need to operate successful businesses.
All right. Well, that is a whole lot of levers that are going to need some adjustment. Alan, I'm hoping we can dive into it a little bit first from the dairy producer's perspective, the farmer's perspective. What are the updates they'd like to see in the milk ordering system in order to be more competitive or in line with where prices are today?
Well, one of the things that farmers are really looking at is actually kind of a going back to the future. It's a return to what's called the higher of. Just to break this down, it has to do with a way to make the price of class one, which is predominantly fluid milk, to incentivize it in a way that there is adequate production for that relative to other products, again, like cheese or like butter. There has been a system in place where basically the class one fluid milk price for a farmer is derived from those other processed commodities. And there was a change made to that formula in 2018 that we found through the experience of the pandemic, because the pandemic taught us a lot and put a lot of momentum behind this process. The way that this is set up right now, the main risk when there's a strange event like a black swan event, a pandemic, right now the farmer has a disproportionate amount of the risk compared to the processor. So we want to go back and make those risks more equal. It makes it easier for a farmer to operate their business. So that's one big thing.
Alan, just so I can understand clearly what's going on here, the concern being that the farmers got the risk because they've got the milk, and the processor in a COVID type situation can say, we're not accepting any more milk. Is that the risk?
Well, part of it is that prices get out of whack. You know, when the pandemic happened, there was a federal response that basically shot up the price of cheese, and things started hitting records. And that messed with the formula, and that's as deep as we need to get here.
Okay.
Because of what it did to that formula, the farmer has an unlimited downsize risk. The processor has a limited risk. We're trying to put that back into balance.
Gotcha. All right. It's all about keeping these things in balance. So that's issue one. We've got the make allowance that we'd like to see modernized. But of course, when you're opening this up, Alan, it's the chance to tweak a lot. What else would the dairy industry like to see?
Well, frankly, to make this work, you have to have a lot of tweaks that sort of balance each other out. You know, one of the things that we've done is the National Milk Producers Federation. You know, we're the leading dairy organization in this country. We represent dairy cooperatives. That's about 2/3 of all the milk produced in the United States. You know, it's nationwide. It's farmers of every size. It's farmers in every region, all working together for a solution. We've had about 2 years of meetings, more than 150 meetings on this, and we've come up with a holistic look at the FMMO system to make sure that there's a path forward that everyone can sign on to. You know, you talk about the make allowance. We have an interim change to the make allowance that basically we would advocate until we have better data on this. Part of the problem of figuring out how much of this should be going to processing is that we don't have good data on this, and we need to work in the farm bill for better data on this. In the meantime, we have this interim solution. Well, people can look at this as a zero-sum game, right? A processor gets a bigger portion, now the farmer gets less. But there's actually a lot to do for farmers as well. You know, this return to the what we call the higher of is significant. Another thing is just modernizing some of the formulas for what farmers get paid for their milk. Part of the reason this whole system was set up was to encourage higher quality milk in the United States. And dairy farmers have responded. Right now, they're being paid under formulas based on the milk of 25 years ago. Milk's actually better now, and not just if you're a consumer and you're thinking it's tasting better. It has more protein, it has better nutrition, it has more things that people want to have. By modernizing these formulas, that actually helps the price for the farmer to the point where if the processing gets adjusted a bit, it works for the farmer as well because they're getting something. You know, this is something we have back with a lot of data. We're doing a lot of preparation, hoping that USDA can accept our plan and that we have a hearing on this to put this into effect. So we got to be prepared. We've done all of our homework. And we think we've come up with something, which, by the way, our board of directors unanimously supported last March, that we can get the whole nation behind. And that's exciting, but it's a lot of work. And it's a pretty delicate balance that you have to have the pieces moving together.
You do. And you mentioned at the end of the day, USDA has to accept this plan. Alan, what's the timeline for these negotiations look like over the summer?
So we have submitted our proposal. We submitted it on Monday. That starts a 30-day clock for USDA to decide what to do. We are hopeful that they will have a hearing on our entire plan. Now, when I say hearing, it's not just a one-day thing. They can call a lot of witnesses. They can do a lot of stuff. We would be hoping to see that later in the year. That then sets up for a producer vote, because one of the interesting things about the federal milk marketing order system is that producers actually have the final say. Farmers have a say in their own destiny. This is the power of the co-op system. This is the power of our industry. We think we have something, you know, already representing 2/3 of the milk. We think we have something the entire dairy community can get behind.
Alan, of course, the next step, as you talk more about this, you're talking to fewer dairy producers, more of a broad consumer audience. What would the consumer impact of any changes to the federal milk marketing orders be?
You know, it turns down to law of supply and demand, right? You know, when this happens, you have something that, you know, helps boost the price for the farmer and also helps the amount for the processor. You could see, you know, depending on how profits get absorbed or such, there might be a short-term effect on the price of milk. But what happens then is supply and demand takes place. And now you have new incentives for the market to act better, right? That processor now has more funds that they can invest in a new plant. They can advance their capacity. You know, the farmer is actually getting a fair price for their milk. This allows them to make better investments. I think the end result of this modernization is a stronger, more solid industry that will be able to serve the consumer better and actually lead to more demand for dairy farmers' product in a healthier system that actually has a benefit for everyone. And in the end, the person at the grocery store too.
Alan, of course, National Milk Producers Federation written about this extensively. Where should folks go for that information?
NMPF.org. That is our acronym, and this is our passion.
Fantastic, folks. We've been speaking with Alan Bjerga. He's the Senior Vice President for Communications at the National Milk Producers Federation. And Alan, as always, we appreciate your insight on these complicated topics.
Thank you.
And folks, stay with us. When AOA returns, we'll be digging back into the health of the rural economy with Dr. Jim Mintrick, the Director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue. Stay here for more AOA.